This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com. And I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part two of a two-part series. Today, we're talking about the life-transforming power of embodied sexuality. Sexual power is not only amazingly blissful, it has the power to change who we are. It changes how we see the world or how the world shows up through our being. As we allow sexual orgasmic energy to become an ever-present part of our moment-to-moment life force, our world is different on every imaginable level. We'll discuss more of this profound topic with our guest today, John Maxwell Taylor. So I want to welcome you, John, back to the show. Hi, John.
Hi, Patty. On to part two. I love it. So great being with you.
Yes, this is part two, and so those of you jumping in, hopefully you'll have a chance to listen to part one of the show where we've been rocking and cooking and having a blast. And for those of you just hopping on right now, I'm going to give a really brief intro about John. He is an author, an actor, a musician, basically an all-around genius. He has studied many of the world's great spiritual and sexual geniuses himself. He's been an author, a playwright. He was in the one-man play Forever Young, and he's a lifelong meditator and energy master. He's worked with Montauk Chia, and he's now based in Cleveland, where he has a practice when he's not touring the country. So we're just going to continue right on about the life-transforming power of embodied sexuality. Let's just get right into ecstasy. Okay, it's so blissful when we can have all of the bliss of sexuality, isn't it?
Yes, well, to me, it's the underlying substratum of all reality, the forms of creation around us. It's like we're living in a hologram. The divine intelligence is holding together this table, the chairs, and so forth. We all know this is pretty, you know, we talk about the illusion, right? Atoms and molecules appear to be solid objects. So what's this? It's some kind of cosmological trick that's being played on us. But what the yogis experience and what we can experience as sexual beings is that the underlying nature of the atoms that make creation, the heart of an atom is ecstasy. This is super conscious ecstasy, you know, Satchitananda, Kutashta Chaitanya, ever existing, ever conscious, ever new bliss, which is ecstasy, right? So if we didn't have sexuality, we wouldn't know what ecstasy is. It's the way that the infinite, which is created or is holding together this phenomenal world around us, lures us back to cultivate and develop a taste for an infinite ecstatic sort of cosmological orgasmic state that never ends, never grows stale, is infinitely varied throughout all eternity. So, you know, most people, they might have like 10 seconds of that as they're having an orgasmic peak, right? So in sacred sexuality, what we have been learning to do is to extend that out in our lovemaking so that we start to feel the innate orgasmic ecstatic nature of creation itself and the atoms of these bodies that are making love as an ongoing state of being of the original prime creative force. And it reminds our unique individual souls that this is what we are. The tragedy is when you're focused upon getting the result of a quick peak frenetic sex type orgasm or ejaculation, that force is gone and it dissipates very quickly and you're back where you were. Okay, and I'll go to work and I'll make the dinner, whatever. Instead of spreading that out so you're feeling it in every department of life, writing, sleeping, walking, thinking, meditating, arguing, no matter what is going on, there is still this underlying vibration of ecstasy. This is possible for human beings. And if it wasn't for, you know, sex, we would never even know that existed.
Right. So you do talk about this quite a bit in your book, Eros Ascending, your new book, I might say, which is a very amazing book, which is you go on quite a bit about this. Let's go into a little bit more about spreading this energy out throughout the day. Yes. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. Well, the first thing we have to do is sort of look at these bodies that we're in as vehicles. It's like when we come down into this plane of existence, wherever we come from, it's like we go to Cosmic Rent-A-Bod and check out one of these body-mind organisms, but they don't give us the owner's manual, right? So we learn to function in the world from people who are clueless about how to operate this vehicle, right? So we end up sort of becoming fragmented. The head is disassociated from the body. The emotions have got a life of their own, and they're not really connected. So I do certain spiritual practices throughout the day, even as I'm talking, well, whatever I'm doing, as I'm talking to you now, I'm doing it, that allow me to unite the three aspects of the body-mind organism. It's like you've got three bodies. You've got a physical body, you've got an energy body, which sometimes is called the astral body, all that might sound a bit sappy, but, you know, it's an energy body behind the physical body. And then there's a third body, which is the thought body, or the idea of you, or the causal body. So these three aspects, they're located in three parts of your physical self. In the head is the mental center of intelligence. In your upper chest and so forth is your emotional center of intelligence. And in the belly is your gut, your intuitive, your moving instinctive intelligence that allows you to do motor tasks and so forth. So most people today are being driven by their heads. The mental center is overactive. And what this does is every time you have a thought, it makes your emotions go. So there's this constant dance between, I had a thought, oh, what feeling came up? Or a feeling comes up and you think, what was that? Right? So there's this kind of a negative dance between two polarities, the head and the emotions, dispossessing each other. But what I do is I use my mind, my mental intelligence, to scan my body. And I'm doing this right now by focusing upon my arms and my legs, because my arms and my legs are in the neutral zone of the body. They don't have emotional problems, but I can feel energy. You know, if you rub your hands together vigorously, you will feel the life energy has been stirred up. If you simply put your attention into your hand for a little while, the energy is going to build up there. The rule is the energy gathers wherever you put your mind. Right. So by focusing upon my arms and my legs, giving my mind something to do, it calms down all the feeling function in the middle of my body, and then this presence begins to arise inside my torso. So that's one thing that I do. I'm using my body to scan my arms and my legs to create a space so that I can be embodied. So instead of being a duality, the mind and the emotions going flip, flop, flip, there's three things at work here. Mind is scanning the body to produce the presence of my feeling function. In other words, my energy body is filling me with this presence here. So there's a unified person here. There's a solid entity instead of a head on a stick talking to you, which is what many people are today.
Okay. So also, are you doing anything with your tongue? And the reason I ask you that is I do something with my tongue. So we talked about that. And I actually think it's pretty amazing, since not too many other people do. And so... Well, and you do talk about it in your book, Eros Ascending.
I've got my tongue, when I'm not speaking, resting at the tip of my tongue, resting at a little raised blip that you can find on your upper gum just behind the two front teeth. And what this does, it connects the flow of the energy up the back, over the head, and down the front. So we talked about this in the other part one of this series, that there's this constant flow of energy through the body. When your tongue is kind of any old place in your body, the energy comes up the back and sticks in your head, right? When you put it at the blip, then the energy continues down the front of the body and goes into the lower part of the body, where your sexual energy is, where your creative power is, right? So here's two things we've talked about. Putting together the three bodies of the three intelligences, body, mind, and the emotional self, and then putting the tongue at the blip there so that the energy runs down the front of your body and gathers in the lower part of your body, in the genitals and in the hara, behind the navel. You know, the Taoists call the area behind the navel the cauldron. It's a safe place to mix your energies. It's your cooking pot. I don't have a belly problem. I'm like the Buddha. This is my cooking pot, you see. So it stores the energy in here. And this gives you a lot of groundedness and a lot of power. So, you know, these are preparatory things. So once you have got that as a sort of a daily modus operandi, you can learn to kind of basically get the idea of this in a week or 10 days if you practice it every day. What will happen then is the sexual energy is going to be so relaxed, it's automatically going to start moving up through your body, producing a sense of ecstatic well-being, whether you're sexually aroused or not.
Okay, and you do talk about these in your book, right?
I do. Well, also in my other book, The Power of I Am, which is really is based on sociological Aikido. Because you and I, people like us, Patty, we're so sensitive and aware of the ecstatic nature of creation and the joy that is available to all of us. You go out there in the world where there's energy vampires and people with negative attitudes and they're looking at you like, you know, so this is very difficult to deal with. So we really need to have some kind of samurai training so that we can walk out there and not have our creative forces and particularly our sexual energy dissipated by engaging with people who are got bees in their bonnet, you know, they've got some agenda, they're going to run on you or whatever, and if that their negative vibration towards you creates disequilibrium within yourself, then you will be expending unnecessarily your sexual creative force to try to deal with that rather than just letting it sit there and percolate so it can energize everything you do in life. So you're basically riding on the wave of the creative power in your body, and what it does, it creates a tremendous sense of solidity. I don't feel as if my head is disconnected from my emotions or my body. I feel as if those three elements are fused together, mental power, emotional power, and physical power, all united as one, but at the same time incredibly relaxed.
So I just want to say that makes a huge difference for lovemaking, for any kind of sensual erotic situation. I find that when a lover knows how to do that, the way they touch me, the way they feel to me, it's like night and day. So we're going to take a break, so please stay with us. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. We're talking to John Maxwell Taylor, and you can learn more about John at his website, johnmaxwelltaylor.com. I'll spell that, johnmaxwelltaylor.com, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking with John Maxwell Taylor about the life-transforming power of embodied sexuality. And I love what you were saying about people that are all connected up as lovers. It makes a huge difference. And I think that it's so hard to find really good information about lovemaking because so many people are teaching you about what position to be in. And I think once you've read, you know, one book on that and you see the Kama Sutra or whatever, okay, there's like 22 positions. But where do you go for the information on the subtle dimensions of how to be a really great lover once you've seen the 36 positions or whatever? I mean, where do you go to get the really great information? What's the next level? How to be a really great lover? So, and I think where you're heading is in that direction, or is it there?
Well, this is why I wrote the book, really, to give a sweeping overview of many missing elements that people may have not been able to locate. It's, you know, it's relatively easy to find information about how to touch a woman in this place or to do this, that, and the other. But really, the bottom line question is, who is it that's making love? Who's showing up here? Is it a complete person? For example, you know, English girls, you know, someone once said that the English are so emotionally stiff, they make the Germans look like Italians, you know, so I hope this isn't going to play in the UK, or I'll have to take out a fatwa on me or something. But, you know, and I'm an American citizen now, so Americans are very warm. You know, I remember having an English girlfriend and we're kind of kissing and snuggling, and she says, "I do love you. Really, I do." You know, I mean, come on, you know, and you know, American girl, she puts her lips to you and she says, "I love you." you. I love you. You know, it's so warm, right? So, but you know, if you're just loving someone from your head, it's like I love you. I love you. You know, but to be able to feel the I of your own being say I love you, I, right? That's a resonance that comes from deep in your chest and your belly. It's deeper even than your heart feeling. It vibrates through your heart. It's what we are. It's the I am that I amness of yourself, you know. It's the word we use most of all, I, right? So I always have the feeling that when I'm making love with my beautiful wife or just kissing her, just looking at her, that the reality of my being is looking at the reality of her being and enjoying all the blessings of the peripherals, how beautiful she is, her wonderful yin energy, you know. So it's really, like I say, it's a question of who is showing up. Are we a whole person? Have we done our shadow work? Have we got, as you said earlier in the other show about the energy vampire thing, are we stealing from our own sexual energy? Are we going to be looking to steal something from somebody else? Or are we coming in fullness to give and to share? And this requires looking at ourselves psychologically. You know, one of the things that I learned from Jung, playing in the Jung play, is that every man has a female aspect, his anima, as Jung calls it, and every woman has a male aspect, the animus. And what's happening in society today is that anima and animus, which are psychological components of the inner world of man and woman, have gotten active, and they're acting out through the external personality of the man and woman. And I think it was James Hillman, who's another Jungian analyst, he said, these are psychological components of the inner world. If anima shows up in a man, he needs to turn to her and say, anima, be gone. In other words, get back inside there and feed my creativity. Don't start speaking out through my mouth, because when you do, you're possessed by the archetype, or the woman who's possessed by her male side and has lost the feeling of connection with her own femininity and her own strength as a woman, and is acting like a pseudo man. It's ridiculous, you see. So what we can, until we learn to harmonize these aspects and put the inner part, for the man, for me, my feeling function is what allows me to be gentle and tender with Emily, or with you as I'm speaking to you right now. And the woman's male part is the part that allows her to sort of just sit calmly within herself and let her innate feminine wisdom pour through into the world. It's like a custodian aspect. It just keeps order in there instead of getting kind of worked up about things, you know. But if it comes out in a forceful way, then there's a sort of antagonism. Jung said a man can only converse with a woman's animus for like a minute before it'll go up in the air at once, because there's something unnatural about it. And women hate it when women, if I was your husband, I would say to you, you know, you don't listen to me, you never pay any attention to me, and you don't understand, whether, you know, get out of here, you know. It's right, I feel that a man needs to be, like I said earlier, needs to be master of himself, not try to master the woman. It's like the erection, the male erection, is a metaphor for centeredness. If the man's erection is firm and strong and pulsating with chi, the woman's yin energy can circulate around that, and she can let go and relax into the beingness of her feminine energy and experience her ecstasy on a deep level. Right? So it's a metaphor for life. Women don't want to be dominated by men. They want to feel that the man is master of himself, so they can let go of their male side and feel all the love that they are.
Well, that's really beautiful. So would you say that some of the feelings of vampirism are really just projection? So when a person isn't complete in themselves, that they are using another person to complete what they have not completed in themselves?
Absolutely, yes. You know, a person who is connected with their own sexuality will not be looking for somebody else's sexuality to complete them. In other words, the two wholenesses would be coming together. If you're complete within yourself, psychologically, emotionally, energetically, and so forth, then you approach another person in the same way. Two fullnesses or two wholenesses are coming together. Otherwise, there's always looking for a compensation mechanism to be activated in the other person that's subconscious. This all takes place unconsciously. Nobody wakes up and says, today I will be an energy vampire and go and do this, that, and the other. No, it's not that at all. It's that it all takes place on an unconscious level, but it's, you know, all the latest studies at universities are saying that 90% of what we do is completely unconscious, motivated by past experience.
So would you say that meditating would actually help anybody be a better lover, in the sense that it would give you that space to develop your sense of presence and contemplation and, just sense of self.
Yes, I think I meditate every day. I've had a routine since the 1960s. But I'm not using meditation to try to become enlightened. That's a sort of a misnomer. What I'm using meditation for is to still everything, to line up the body, the mind, and the emotions so that the energies can all be balanced and put in the order which they're supposed to work with, so that the naturally enlightened ecstatic state of my being, which is already there, can manifest through the physical form. It's not that we have to get something that we don't have. No one becomes enlightened. The universe exists in an enlightened state. And when you can line up the body-mind organism in a certain way, that which we naturally are just manifests as easily as breathing. It's just there. It can vary in degree. But any time that you feel a permeation of joy throughout your body-mind and organism, there's a feeling of expansion, of vitality, of clarity. All of these things can be happening at the same time. What's happening is you're blowing on the flame of the self, which is already in an enlightened state, and the more you blow on it, the bigger and brighter that gets. So basically, this is what meditation is. It's stilling the body-mind organism, getting a connection with the underlying reality, and then just concentrating upon it in a relaxed way until it expands out, and if you can make love in that state, that's it. As I said earlier, nobody's actually making love anyway. People are trying to make love, but the real love making starts when all of a sudden the process becomes the thing in itself and you're just there with it and it's just happening. It's really about letting go. Ecstatics like Teresa of Avila and people like that, they knew how to let go and seduce themselves into a super conscious state of ecstasy. This is the samadhi of the yogis, and it's our natural state to be in this blissed out ecstatic state. And the sexuality for us in the Western world, here and now, this is the key to becoming enlightened, modern, streamlined yogis in the Western world, is to connect with our sexual energy in such a whole way and take the time to balance the psyche and the emotions and the body so that the bliss of the sexual energy can connect with the bliss centers in the brain and saturate and impregnate every cell of the body so that every particle of our being is alive with bliss, joy, and ecstasy. It's completely off the charts, this, to what people normally think of as sexuality as being. This is Eros ascending, taking us with it to divine consciousness.
You tell a story in Eros Ascending, your book, about Gurdjieff giving a woman a profound, phenomenal orgasm that he's never even met in some kind of train station.
Well, actually, it was at a party in New York, and there's all these socialites around, and this woman looked across the room and saw Gurdjieff, and he was looking at her with a certain way, and he did a quick little breathing pattern. All of a sudden, she said she was struck through her sexual center, and she orgasmed in this crowded room, Well, it's an interesting story. I'm not suggesting that this is something we should all learn to do, because we don't want to be like sexual Darth Vaders going around zapping people. But the orgasmic energy is transmittable across, several feet away from another person. A man does not give a woman an orgasm, but a man can assist, facilitate that simply by looking at her in such a way that what we've been talking about flows across the room. My favorite way to make a woman orgasm is to concentrate upon the points in her brain, her pituitary gland, her medulla, the amygdala, the thalamus, and the hypothalamus gland, which produces dopamine, and get that hypothalamus gland to produce divine dopamine. Because when divine dopamine connects with the energy in this coming from the sexual center, that woman will orgasm like that.
So what do? You just concentrate on it and that's it?
Sometimes when I'm working privately with someone, I may be sitting 3 or 4 feet away from them, and I will put myself in a state of awareness of the wholeness of my being. So it's like I'm sitting in a big ball, if you will, of electrifying energy. I'm completely relaxed, and I look into her essence eye, which if she's right-handed is her left eye, and then I just begin to scan her body. And as the energy moves through her body and she relaxes, then she will start to have movements, involuntary movements and so forth, and her eyes will kind of go back, and if that doesn't do it, I'll have her stand up, and then we come like 2 or 3 feet away from her, and then this ecstatic state will come over, and there she goes, and it's the most natural thing in the world. Creation is the orgasm of God. Everything is ecstatic. all the time. It's this ongoing orgasm, and all we're doing really is aligning ourselves with that.
Well, that sounds very exciting, and I want some more examples, so please stay with us. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want details, details, details. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking with John Maxwell Taylor about the life-transforming power of embodied sexuality. You can find out more about John at his website, johnmaxwelltaylor.com, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and so I was just wondering if you could give me an example of someone you've worked with, or you and Emily, your wife, your beautiful wife, as you always like to call her, have just an example of someone you've worked with that which really changed their sexual energy frequency, where they've become more embodied.
Yes, well, I can't really give you a personal story because it's all confidential, but I can give you a sort of a composite, if that will. You know, many women today are having spontaneous ecstatic awakenings. They don't know what the heck's going on. They wake up in the middle of the night. They have an orgasm in their dreams, or they wake up and they find that their body's shaking. It's because the sexual energy. You know, when a woman has, particularly a menopausal woman, you know, up until that point, her life energy every month is in sort of service to nature, preparing the egg and then letting it go and so forth. But it gets to a certain point where that's not going to happen anymore. So then all that energy that used to be going to create the egg then goes inside and up to the brain to create her. So this is what the hot flashes are all about. So we often get women who come to us with that kind of scenario. What's going on? You know, I thought I was just a nice sort of simple suburban person, and all of a sudden, you know, I've got this raving sexual energy going through my body. What do I do with it? So what we do is we hold the field. If Emily and I are working, we just sit in the room with this person, and then we will all tune into each other. And I will sit facing the person, maybe 3 or 4 feet away, and I will look into her essence eye, and I may lift my hands over her head. I'm several feet away, but I will bring a wave of energy from her head all the way down through her body, down to her feet. Because this gets you out of the head, and I'll say to you, would you mind concentrating on your feet? I'll do it again. I'll put my hands over your head. I'm doing this now with you, Patty. So, and I'm bringing this wave of energy down through your body, all the way down through your body and down your legs and into your feet. Now you continue to just look into my left eye, which is my essence eye. Okay, so as I do that, now that which is real in me is looking at you, and I can see it already starting to shake a little bit, right? So as we do this, I just want you to kind of be aware of your arms and your legs, because you can let them shake if they want to a little bit. Right, so now I'm going to put my hands up like this. I'm a few feet away from you, and I'm transmitting energy into your pelvic floor. And I'm visualizing your ovaries, and I'm sending this lovely healing energy into your ovaries. Okay, so now there's a nice warmth gathering in the lower part of your body, and mine too, and I'm just moving that up your tailbone a little bit to your kidneys. So I'm focusing on your kidneys now, and I'm sending this lovely, healing, ecstatic energy into your kidneys. And your adrenal glands sit on your kidneys. So there's nice feeling there in your kidneys. So we've got that established, and now I'm directing it into your liver. So now here's energy going into your liver. So now we're connecting with your liver. And there's a lovely, blissful feeling here between us now. I'm not touching her, folks. I'm several two feet away from her. So kidneys and the liver. And now to your spleen over here. So I'm sending energy into your spleen. Good. And at the same time, I'm now in my spleen and my liver, and I'm sending energy into your lungs. So I'm projecting energy from my hands into Patty's lungs, from some feet away, well, maybe a foot away now. Now I'm sending energy into your heart. But at the same time, I've got my hand, one hand on my heart and one on yours. So now we're syncing up the vibration in our internal organs, see? Kidneys, liver, spleen, heart, lungs, we are in sync, right? And so now I'm putting my hands up close to your face, and I'm sending the energy into your face. And again, I'm putting my hands on the top of your head, over your head. I'm still about a foot away, but the direction of the energy is overhead, and now I'm sweeping it down again. So this wonderful tingling, blissful energy goes all through your body, all the way down into your pelvic floor. And so now I'm directing energy into your genitals now from about 2 feet away. And immediately, you see, the whole body is electrified, and there's this blissful streaming almost coming out of the eyes. And so then again, I put my hands up towards your breasts and direct that energy into your breasts. By the way, men are not fixated on women's breasts because they want a drink of milk. What they're looking for is the chi, the life energy of the universe through the feminine principle from the breasts, right? And so you can see that we're in a pretty ecstatic state now, and it's tingling over the whole body, although there's been no sexual contact between us. Well, what this does, this allows the natural flow to be established. So if it was a client that I was working with who'd gone through what we were talking about earlier, now everything is cooled down, calmed and balanced. So there's a streaming up the back, over the head, down the front. So she's when she gets sexually aroused from now on, what's going to happen is that the energy will flow smoothly and easily through the body and not get stuck in places where there were old patterns, perhaps fear in the kidneys or anger in the liver. It's going to be gentleness in the kidneys and kindness in the liver and courage and strength in the lungs and love, joy and happiness in the heart. And then, you know, if we really want to kind of take this to the next level, what we're going to do is I would look in your eyes again and I would focus on the back of your neck. And you could even put your finger on the back of the neck there at the medulla, which I'm doing now, which the Taoists call the jade pillow or the mouth of God. So we send the current from the back of your neck to your pituitary gland, and then up onto the top of your head and down through the top of your head to the pineal gland and to your amygdala. And then I'm concentrating now on the center of your brain. I'm backed off to about 9 inches from your head, and I'm focusing on the center of your brain and your thalamus gland and your hypothalamus gland, and the same is activated in me. So in other words, the inner circuitry of your body-mind organism and my body-mind organism, they're both completely synced up together. And now if we were to make love, you see, we could stay in this state. In other words, we're already blissful in the yogic sense before we even start to get what one normally would think of as being technically erotic, you understand?
Yeah, wow. Well, I'll tell you, this job has some really great perks to it.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Now, is this something that our listeners could try at home?
Yeah, they should try it sitting in front of the mirror with themselves. You can do it clothed or not clothed, but if you were just to sit in front of a full-length mirror, mm-hmm. and to gaze, if you're right-handed, look into your left eye, because that's your essence eye. If you're right-handed, if you're left-handed, look into your right eye. Look across. But one, the essence reflects what you were born with. The other eye is what I call the personality eye. It reflects what you've gathered from life. I talk about this in my book, The Power of I Am, which you can read about. Once you get gazing like that, then do the thing. Put your hands up over your head and just kind of sweep your energy from your head all the way down to your body. I mean, this is the really important thing in life now, is to get out of your head and get into your body, into a fully sensate connection with yourself.
And if you don't know exactly where these brain parts are located, you can just estimate?
You can actually just, you could probably find it online.
Well, you can, you know, there's lots of books, websites on the brain, etc.
Right. It's simpler. The pituitary gland's just behind the eyebrows, about 1.5 to 2 inches in. The medulla's at the back. The pineal's 3 inches in down from the top. You know, so you can easily check this kind of stuff out. But I'm in a relationship with the points in my brain and my internal organs. So I'm very comfortable living here in my body. I like it very, very much, because instead of being some kind of amorphous no man's land of shifting energies and emotions and vibrations, my job is to be a custodian, a good housekeeper, and keep everything in a harmonious state all day long. And if you lose it, you have a tough moment with somebody, you take a minute and you bring it back so that The energy of life can flow through your body very easily without being impeded by tensions and so forth. And this, of course, puts you predisposed to being in a natural ecstatic state all the time.
So what happens, how does this impact the world if more and more people were to start doing this kind of erotic ascension?
Well, it's said that one deeply meditating yogi, a real yogi, does more good for stabilizing the world than thousands of people rushing around trying to stick bread in people's mouths, and because they'll be hungry again tomorrow. It doesn't mean that shouldn't be done. But there, as every time in history, there's always been a certain group of people who knew how to center themselves, and their spiritual destiny wasn't all about what's in it for me, how can I become enlightened. It wasn't just that. There was this deeper sense of a greater destiny, is that I am working to participate consciously in the reciprocal maintenance of the universe by balancing the heaven and earth within myself, the yin and yang within myself, doing all of this. I as a representative of the highest force that's created all of this world, I'm consciously working within creation. I'm serving in a very profound way. So, you know, just doing the spiritual practices is one thing, and that really helps to stabilize the world, and we really need that right now.
Making love?
Yeah, and making love, well, that's, of course, is a natural. I love the term, making love. You've had that experience. You check into a room. It's just a room. You make love for 2 hours. You go out for dinner. You come back. Wow, what happened to this room? We do actually make love. We manufacture. You know, these are processing plants, these body-mind organisms. They're there for the alchemical transmutation of various energies and substances. And when you make love, that's what happens at the highest level, is that you are actually rearranging the atmosphere of a room so that the world is a better place for it. And then the icing on the cake is to learn to go out there in the world like a sociological Aikido master and walk around in this blissful, ecstatic, peaceful state and not get thrown off by people. I've got it down to 90% of the time. You know, it's like the cosmic script writers think, he thinks he's doing well. Well, we'll just bring this around the corner and see how he handles that. But 90% of the time is pretty darn good, considering, you know, where we all start, you know.
I'm taking notes from you. That does it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, good.
I like to study from people that have that kind of a success rate.
Well, this is why you're so successful in what you do, is because you can't really teach unless you can embody. And if you embody it, people know that. It's like they said of Jesus, you know, he speaks with authority, not as the scribes. You know, the scribes write it all down, but it's all words and head stuff. And I wouldn't have the audacity to come on your show or to write books or to teach anybody if I couldn't fully live and embody all that we've been talking about. And we're just scratching the surface here. I mean, what can you do in two half-hour slots? You know, it's mainly to give an intimation to people that it is an undreamed-of potential for human development. And since sexual energy is the most creative and powerful force on the in the world, until we come to terms with this as a race, it's going to run away from us, and Eros will not be able to do the job of ascension and lift us up into higher states of happiness and consciousness and just a blessed life on the ordinary level. What's going to happen? It's going to have to go into the unconscious and create scenarios that will bring to our attention our blockages and the things we need to work with. Well, to heck with that. You know, I've had it. You know, suffering's such a Piscean concept, you know, Piscean age concept. Let's be done with that. You know, the bliss is already there. It's we're her away from it. So we really need to become our own seducers and seduce ourselves out of the trance, the collective trance that people are in about limitation, and seduce ourselves into being a totally ecstatic being in the midst of a totally ecstatic life, where our sexual energy is feeding the higher centers of our brain and every cell of our body, and we are electrified with the presence and vitality of the living truth every minute of the day.
Wow. Well, we are going to thank you so much. You've said more in these 2 half-hour slots than I ever dreamed of, hoped of, and yet I'm not surprised for a second. Just a natural follow-through from the gorgeousness that your book conveys. We are going to bring the show to a close, and so I invite you once again to leave us with a parting inspiration.
Sure. We have never lost anything. That bliss that I saw in the baby, That is yours right now. Our natural state is love, joy, happiness, and bliss. And it's not that we have to go or do anything or become worthy or be good or anything. All we have to do is have the willingness and the desire, the relaxed desire to say, I've had enough of being separated from all that I am, and I'm going to relax back in, down into it. And I want to live in a state of ecstatic joy percolating away behind everything I'm doing, whether it's full blast in the bedroom or whether it's walking down the street and feeling heaven and earth communing through me, that I can live in a state of expanded lovemaking joy everywhere that I go, which is what your shows are all about, you know. So yay for us.
Yay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on our show. We've been talking with John Maxwell Taylor about the life-transforming power of embodied sexuality. Haven't we? Haven't we? Haven't we? What a blessing for us all to have had him on the show with us today. He's the author of the truly incredible book, Eros Ascending. It has gotten incredible reviews from everyone in the field. It's a must-read, must-have, as is his other book, The Power of I Am. So I encourage everyone to buy the book, read the book, and check out his website too, johnmaxwelltaylor.com. So with that, we're going to bring the show to a close. Thank you so much for listening. Please send me email at patty@personallifemedia.com for text and transcripts. Visit our website at personallifemedia.com. And please visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com, where you can join my mailing list, find out more about my products, services, and events. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanded lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.